Rabbi Bosai, we kind of are segueing briefly from the dinim of Beria not being bottle, which is in Siman Kuf in Gerudeya, to the dinim of bug checking, which is found in Siman Pei Dalet of Gerudeya. Siman Pei Dalet of Gerudeya quotes a number of Gemaras from Chulin about how, let's say, there is a difference between water bugs and land bugs and bugs that fly in the air. The Gemara Makis says 4 malchus, 5 malchus, 6 malchus, depending on what it is. And in all the cases, the Gemara says that before the bug is piresh, so it's not going to be a problem. Meaning to say, let's say a water bug. So the Gemara says that there, well, let me say it like this. There's a din in the Torah that fish, right, needs snapir because keses, right? Fish need fins and scales. That is fish which are in regular mayim. But if you have fish which are in kalim, right, if you have fish which are in Kalim, so you're allowed to drink from them directly because it's mayim she'enam naivim, so therefore you don't need snapir v'kaskeses. We have dinim by bugs which are sheretz al ha'aretz. So if they are bugs that are found in the tree, that's considered al ha'aretz, and trees mukhabal karka. If the bugs are developed, so to speak, in the peiris, so then it is not sheretz al ha'aretz, kolz man shelo piresh, it's going to be okay. All of these dinim appear here at the beginning of Siman Pei Daled. The shayla that comes up though is how is it that you're allowed to eat bugs shelo piresh? Right? Let's say I have bugs in a kalim, right? Water bugs in a kalim. So it's not mayim hanoivim, it's not considered mayim. So those water bugs are kosher. Isn't it disgusting to eat water bugs? The Torah has an iser called bal teshaktzu es nafsho seichem. No, you can't do disgusting things. My Makis says you're not allowed to, let's say, drink a cup, use as a cup. You can't use, let's say, the blood letters thing, right? It'd be the equivalent for us, let's say, you know, the cup that they give you to urinate into in the doctor's office. You shouldn't drink out of that. That would be an iser bal teshaktzus es nafsho seichem. In Yerideya Siman Yud Gimel, there is a din that you can't eat live fish. It's disgusting. Bal teshaktzus es nafsho seichem. So you cannot. Yes! Which word didn't you understand? What?
It's not disgusting to finish.
So, we're going to talk about that. Is the din of disgusting a din disgusting to you, or is it a din in disgusting to
I know it wasn't.
you're the one who said it? I didn't say it. We could say roiv, etc. But the shaila is, how is it that I'm allowed to drink this water, right? Bend down, let's say, into the water and drink it, right? We're now choishish for the shratzim. How am I allowed to do that? That's the kasha. Shouldn't it be bal teshaktzu? So the shach and the taz at the beginning of Pei Daled are bothered by the kasha. The taz writes an ice base that the heter is only by shratzim she'ein mu'usin alav. Aval, if they are mu'usin alav, then it's an iser bal teshaktzu. Meaning, the Taz sounds like the Svara that Mr. Schlush presents. That depends on whether it's Ma'os or love, it's subjective. The Shach, however, writes, in Seif Katan Gimel, that there's no Baal Teshaktzu, even though eating a live fish is Baal Teshaktzu. There's no Baal Teshaktzu because over here your kavana is to drink the mayim. Your kavana is not on the bugs, and the bugs are not be'er. The prima god, the pashtus in the shach is that it depends on everybody. It's not a din only on you and your subjective disgustingness. That's the Parshas in the Shach. The Taz assumes that it is subjective. In the Prima Godim, however, he says that it's really not a machlekes between the Shach and the Taz. The Prima Godim writes that the Shach is not arguing on the Taz. Rather, the question is, if it is ma'os l'roiv b'nei Adam, if rov b'nei Adam are ma'usin or ma'asim bo, even though l'didei it's not ma'os, then it's going to be usher. But if rov b'nei Adam are not ma'os, then it's subjective. Right, so the Prima Godim is telling that there's no machlokes between the Shach and the Taz. The issue is, if rov people find it disgusting, so then by definition there's Balta Shach too. If rov people don't find it disgusting, then it's subjective, and that's the way he infers the machlokes between the Shach and the Taz. I should just add that the beginning of Yeridei and Hilchos Shechita in Simin Yud Gimel, when we say that you don't have to shecht fish, but nonetheless the Rama adds, don't eat a live fish because it's about to shecht too, they comment that there is a suffix in the Beis Yosef. Is that about to shecht too an Issa D'Oraisa or is an Issa D'Rabbanan? When the Torah says about to shecht too Snapshei Seifem, that might mean just don't eat Isurim. Does that mean, does Bata Shaktsu mean that it is, that disgusting stuff is also min ha-toira or not? The Tavuas Shor, the Psender Shor, this is the sefer that Sheikhdim used to have to know by heart. If you were a Shofet, you had to know by heart. They were giving you a lechina to know the Simla Chadasha by heart. The Simla Chadasha is like, you know, a standard Gemara page. You have the middle, which is the Gemara. You have like Rashi and Taisus on the side. The Simla Chadasha was the middle of the Gemara page, right? Sheikhdim had to know Simla Chadasha by heart. The Tavu Ashar is the commentary on the outside of the Simla Chadasha. The Tavu Ashar writes that the Lashon of the Rambam is something like Tzivu Chachonim, which sounds like it's Derabbanan, but nonetheless, he gives you a whole slew of Rambams who use a lashon Tzivu Chachamim and Tzvili Yedin D'Oraisa. Right? He feels that the dinim of Sakana in Yeridei Yosimin Kuf Yud Zayin, right? You shouldn't like put money in your mouth. It's assumed to be a Sakana to eat onions that were left overnight. It's assumed to be a Sakana. So first of all, for us Bisman Hazar, we assume the Shtana Hatzavaim, Sakana may have changed, etc. But the many assume that's an Issa D'Oraisa. If it's Mamash or bona fide Sakana, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. The Rambam over there also uses one of these lashons like Tzivu Chachamim, which even though it's D'Oraisa, Tzivu Chachamim might still be an appropriate term. So the first Nakuda we wanted to mention is bugs that are in Kalim, our kosher, is it usher to eat those bugs out bal to shaktu? So me'ezah siba shehi, we say it's not. Mr. Weiss and then Mr. Calendar.
Just to clarify, when it is ma'os ro'bnei adam, then it would be totally b'kavanah.
It's ro'if b'nei adam, even if I'm not ma'os by it, it's usher. That's bal to shaktu. If it's not Master of B'nai Adam, then it's totally my own Kavanah. So the Taz says it's only my own Kavanah. The Taz means in an open that it's not Ma'os to rove people. Right? When the Shach says it depends, the Shach says it's like a categorical thing. It's not subjective, right? But in this case, it's not Ma'os because you're drinking water, etc. Right? People don't view it like you're drinking bugs. So the Shach is talking about objective categories where were they to know that your mom is drinking a bug, so it would be ma'os for everybody. The Taz is assuming it's subjective.
I mean, even when it is objectively ma'os, it's still fine if it's shalom b'kavanah.
Nachon. Nachon. Now, the Shaila though comes up like this. You know what? Let's hold on that, Shaila. I'll talk about it in a few minutes. Mr. Calendar.
Two questions. First is, why is it that it sounded like that from that Prima Godim Shach, the water washing makes me mutter then.
Why?
Because it's not, it's
Whoa. But the water in Washington Heights.
And I'm stopping drinking for the water.
But again, it might be mutter out about a shaktu, but there's an issur to elohim.
About to shakt.
In a case where the tola'as is a mutter tola'as, the shadow that we're addressing is why is there no about to shakt too? So for that, we have the discussion, the shakt and the taz, and the prima gadim who says that there's no machlokas. It's it. Great.
Also, how do we understand the Israel? I thought about the shakt usually is referred to holding back, going to bathroom
is another example of Balchashakhtu. The Pashtus is that everybody holds that Balchashakhtu is the Rabbanon. The Shaila is Balchashakhtu of disgusting stuff. When the Torah says, don't Balchashakhtu is Nafshal Seifem, what does that mean? Does that mean don't do Averas, which are going to make yourself disgusting? Or does it mean don't do disgusting things? Right? Is it an aesthetic statement or is it a... you know, one of my kids was asking me a shayla about eating mold, right? So mold.
Does that happen often in the short class?
We're not commenting. one of my kids asking me a shayla about eating mold. So mold comes from like these microscopic organisms, no? And that's how it develops. That's like tree mold. Protists, right? That's the term. Can you eat protists? So that's a it's an interesting question to think about. So it's like it's about to shakt to. So they're like, what's that? So I'm like, oh, just like you can't eat a live fish. It's like, why not? Like, so we had this whole conversation. That's one of the reasons why I'm so into it now. Good. Let's go weiter. The when it comes to checking for bugs and pay dalid, so it seems to be mevuar, everybody holds. That's something which is not nikar la'ayin, something is microscopic, it's heter gomer. That's not called a bug. If you want to marry makim on this, or hashochan simen peidalad se'if lamed vav, yesh mishakasa b'shem chachme hateva, dehamistako b'zuchuchas hamigadala eshrikorim spaktiva, I guess that's like a microscope. If you look in it with a magnifying glass or a microscope, so yir b'chumetz Malay tolaim, you'll see tons of bugs in vinegar. So he says, well, by the chaymetz, it's not a problem. These are tolaim which are mishavim betolosh. And therefore, the Torah is matir those tolaim. Omnam shamati, shebekom mine mayim, beyichud bemega shamim, right? Beroim dakim sheina ein yechon ler osam, malei beroim dakim sheina ein yechon ler osam, etc. Right, that the mega shamim is full of bugs that you can't see. Ubi aldusi shamatim pi echad shayu b'merchakim v'ra derach z'chukas ha'mgadalas ad ma'od kirvavos pa'mayim. Kirvavos pa'amim b'mayim. A guy looked in the microscope and he sees something that's magnified thousands of times. He sees komine beruim. Well, if he's a echan shosim mayim, shari elo habruim nishavu b'mekoyvam, right? These things are not born in the cup. Ha'emes, zelo asr Torah b'mesha'in ha'ayin sholetis bo, zelo nit natura l'malachim. Din lo kein, hare kama me'achokrim kasu, shigam kol ha'avir hu malei b'ruim dakim in hadakim. Air. Is it mutter to breathe? Is it mutter to breathe? Right? Yes, it's mutter to breathe. You have all these microscopic organisms that come in. So it's a davar pashut that the halacha is not going to concern itself with microscopic organisms. That is muskam lakol. If you look at Igris Moshe, I believe in chelak ches, simin ches or something, where Moshe writes a davar pashut, everyone holds. Anything that's microscopic is not bichlal the iser. Mr. Shlush, you had a comment? This is the Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Pei Dalet, Se'if Lamed Vav. Great. Now, if something is mamish nikar, so then the din is that it is considered not a taruvus at all, and it's not batal even on the level of Deiraisa. But if I have mamish a gigantic worm, right? Mamash like a worm. And you see the worm on the lettuce. So don't tell me, oh, it's a berry, it's not bottom level, drabonon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't give me any of that. But it's Nikola Ayin. Some of that's Nikola Ayin is going to not be bottle even level deraisa. The time that we have an issue about berry not being bottle on the level of drabonon is something that is somewhat Nikar. However, and what I'm saying over today is almost entirely from Rav Etam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Domo Sefer. Rav Etam, as you know, is the son of Rabbi Huda Herzl Henkin and Rabbanit Henkin. He was killed, he and his wife Nava, right, were killed by terrorists. He was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. If you want, Koren recently published an English book of his essays. The first essay in there is about strawberries. His entire book, Lachem Yalo Ochla, is about eating strawberries. Years ago, by 10 years ago, not that long, there was like a co-core that all strawberries are treif. And they, Rabbi Tam, decided to write a sefer about this issue. Lachem Yalo Ochla, his conclusion is that you're allowed to eat strawberries. Chickpeas were also a big discussion.
He's the great-grandson of Henkin in America?
He is the great-grandson of Henkin in America, right? He's the son of the fellow who wrote the Tshuvas B'nei Bonim.
Of
Rebbe Yehuda Herzl Henkin.
Who was in Nishmat, right?
His mother is in Nishmat, correct. So now, Rev Etam Henkin, in his Sefer Lachem Yalo Ochla, discusses when we say something is a beria and is not bottle on the level of drabonon, what exactly does that mean? In other words, to what extent do you have to check for it? Right? We pointed out yesterday that there are four different gradations. Miyat she'eino matzoi, miyat hamatzoi, machta al machta, perhaps, and muhsik b'taylaim. By miyat hamatzoi, you have to check. But to what extent do I say that to what extent am I mechayiv to check if it is very difficult to check? Right? One could argue that if it's really difficult to check, that means, let's say, the bug is buried very deeply underneath, inside the vegetable. So one could argue that that is not at all called nikar. Right? Nikar in the sense of that there's a chiyuv midrabbanan to check. Not nikar in the sense of it's not bato min hatayra, but nikar in the sense that I'm a chiyuv to check because it's not microscopic. Right? Microscopic? You don't have to check. Impossible to see. But something I could see with great difficulty, am I mechuyev to check? Or something that even if I could see it, but it's kemat not shayach to remove it, am I mechuyev to check in those cases? Do I say that the tirch is so great that there's no chiyev? Like cutting open every single chickpea. Right, that's a tremendous tircha, no? You have to sit there like with a scalpel, every chickpea. So Rabbi Tam points out that in his opinion, this is a machlokas harishonim. If you look in the Rashba and the Torah HaBayis, it's Bayis Gimel Sharvav on page Tzadi Amid Beis. The Rashba discusses the din of Chemas Nochrim. Remember, Chazal instituted Isurim on many Goyish products. Some of them are usher because of a chash of treifis. Some of them are usher just because of intermarriage, no? Bishul Akum is usher out intermarriage. Cholav Akum is usher because of a chash midivrehem, that there's going to be a little bit of cholav tamei that is mixed in to the cholav, even though cholav tamei is like a greenish hue, and regular cholav of a cow is whitish, nonetheless, maybe it's going to be mixed in. So Chazal asered chalav tamei. There's a discussion about whether chemas nachrim is aser. Did Chazal aser chemas nachrim? The Gaonim have chema, butter. Do they aser butter of Gaim? The Gaonim have a big machlokes about it. On the tzad, the chemas nachrim is aser. Why would it be aser? Rambam writes, the chemas nachrim is aser, according to those that it's aser, because there is little bits of milk that are in the butter. The way they would make butter is they would like churn it around and around and around. And the butter, as you know, butter is not like one complete solid substance. There are like some pockets in the butter. And in those pockets, it could be milk. And that milk is going to be chalav nachrim. Right? So the Rambam says, that's why chemas nachrim is aser, because it's not batal. The Rashban Sadi Amad Beis disagrees with the Rambam. The Rashba says that no, those bits of milk will be batal because it's so hard to get it out, you can't say it's not batal. Even though if I look really carefully, I can see, right, if I take off my glasses, I can see that there is a little bit of milk there, right? But it's kimat not shy to get that milk out. Therefore, the Rashba writes, it is going to be bottle. How come they aser chemas nochrim, according to those who aser it? So the Rashba has a yisoid that by ma'acholei akum, many ma'acholei akum, Chazal asered and did not even allow a din of bittul b'shishim. By chalav akum, right? How much treif milk, how much camel milk is mixed in to, someone told me that they went to the World Cup in Qatar and they were selling camel milk, whatever. But how much camel milk are you going to mix in? Right? It could be it's batul b'shishim. Nonetheless, it's aser. Or one of the reasons, the Gemara is like 5, 6, 7 reasons why they aser gevinas nachrim. One of the reasons is shemachlikim paneha b'shumin chazir, that they put like chaz or schmaltz on the outside of the cheese. Why don't I say it's batul? Answer is, says the Rashba, that by machali nachrim there's no bittul. And here also there's no bittul by chemas nachrim. So the Rambam and the Rashba both say there's no bittul, but the Rambam is saying there's no bittul because it's called nikkur. And the Rashba is saying there's no bittul because it is not called nikkur. Now the Rambam, who says it's called nikkur, obviously holds that something that requires tircha to get rid of it is still considered like a nikkur ha'iser. And for our purposes in bug checking, that would be mechayiv checking. For the Rashba, it's going to be batal anyway. So why get involved in checking? That's Rav Eitam's cheshbon. Now, it's not 1,000,000% clear because, remember, we are noting that there's such a thing that's nikkur and would not be a taruvus, even on the level of derais, it would not be batal. Right? So it could be that the Rambam and the Rashi were discussing whether on the level of Daraisa it's considered nikkur, right? But it has nothing to do l'cha'ora with the conversation on the level of Darabonon of checking for bugs for beria. Maybe this machlokas Rambam and Rashba is not relevant, but Rav Eitam begins his conversation with this machlokas Rambam and Rashba. Rav Eitam then notes, I'm not sure what name I should call you. Hyman. How about that? Okay.
He does say the whole conversation started from the point of the fact that since the beria is nicker, that's our issue of bitzel. So kind of ends up on the right level of the conversation anyways.
Again, if it's mamish nicker, so then it's not going to be bottom on the level of derayis.
Which would then mean that the rosh are on our own. I think that to me is what he's...
But remember, saying. But my conversation that I'm talking about is assuming that the bug is not mamish nicker. No, you're saying that it's relevant for, not for Simen Kuf, it's relevant for bigger issues, not being Tarufus at all. Okay, that's a fair point. But that would still be, that would be a bigger Chiddush then. What the Rashba is saying is only a tremendous Chiddush, that something is noticeable, but it's really hard to remove. So therefore, even though I notice it, right, it is Batul Min HaTayra. This is relevant also for the conversation. Did we speak about this by the schach? The Gemara says that like schach puzzle, right, is in this Arev with schach kosher. I have like a tree, right? It's mechuber lekarka. I bend it down with the other schach. So Gemara discusses maybe it's going to be bato. How can it be bittel? Right? It's nikar la'ayin. Teretz is maybe what? It's really hard to tell the difference. It is...
He's had that example already
once. We spoke about this, yeah. The point is, though, that the Machlokes Rambam and Rashba, so what's called Nikar, should be relevant for this conversation. You're right. I think Mr. Hyman was making a fine point that, we'll call him Jesse even, right? That the point is that if it's not bottom level deraisa, like the Rambam would say, so then we have much more serious problems with bug checking. That's fair. This issue came up earlier in Simen Tzadi Ches. We learned a din of Teva HaChelev LaHakfi, no? In Tzadi Ches, if Vav, we had a din that if I have some Chelev that gets mixed in, so I can, I should pour cold water to get the Chelev to rise to the top. The Lashon of the Ramah over there, where he speaks about the din, says that becomes Nikar HaEser. Now, what do you mean, nikar ha'isr? It's not nikar. I have chelov that's in it now. Teretz is, if something is made nikar a bowl, even with some sort of tircha, that's still called nikar ha'isr. And that might not be bottled on the level of deraisa. The crazy place, he says, that over there, because there's some tircha involved, so it's not nikar ha'isr on the level of deraisa. It's a din d'rabbanon to get rid of the chelev, are they pouring the cold water in? So therefore, it's like a darbash yesh lamatirin. And we spoke about the Balei HaShulchan on page 33, where he points out that some achronim say that you don't have to pour cold water into your pot that has chelev if the pot will get ruined by putting the cold water in. That's assuming the darbash yesh lamatirin svara. That's a din drabanan. We don't say davashir shamatirin if it involves a tircha, etc. But if it's a din doi raisa, so then we will say that even though it will get ruined, it's considered nikar iser, and therefore it's not going to be bottle. That issue is a similar issue where I have something which right now is not nikar, but I can make it nikar somehow. Am I mechuyev to do that? And by dint of the fact that I can make it nikar, maybe it is not a taruvus at all, and it's not bato at all on the level of deraisa. Reb Chaim Cohen at the end of Simen Kuf goes very far with this idea. The Achronim all say, right, we saw in the end of Simen Kuf, so in the Shaf and the Piskei Tshuva, that if I have a pot with a bug in it. So the pot, the kadir is osir. Not the pot is osir, the food in the pot is osir. Why? There's a bug, berry is not bottle. Zak the shach, but you could be matir aide sinon. Zak the prima godem. Well, it has to be the type of sinon, like the strainer that can get the bug out. Now, Reb Feivel is bothered by the issue on this din. Well, let's say I don't have, right, we spoke about the copepods, 15 micrograms. Let's say I don't have a very small strainer. Am I mechuyev to borrow one, to buy one? How far do I have to go? How much tircha is involved? If this din is saying that because you could strain it out, on the level of the oiraisa, it is considered like a nikar hadisar. So the cha'ore, you have to go very far to get a strainer from your navel. From your neighbor, Rashallah Isha Mishkenta, Migaras Besa, right? You have to borrow your strainers, right? If it's on the level of Daraisa. If I assume, like the Placey, that the teva hachilav lahakfi is considered a ta'aruvis because there's some tircha to get it out. So then something that involves some tircha to get out is considered a ta'aruvis. And then I have to address the shayla as to how far I have to get. Am I mechuyev to check it, etc.? How far do I go with these ta'aruvis type things? That's what?
Can you remember the last one from the Bible?
In other words, what Reb Fiver Cohen is saying is that when we say you have, when the Shafrites and Simin Kuf Seif Katin Yud, that you could be matir the soup, are they straining? Right? Presumably you have to strain it to get the bug out, right? You know the bug is there. And Reb Fiver was assuming, and therefore the bug is like a nikar ha'isra on the level of Doraisa. So therefore, he says you have to borrow a strainer from your neighbor to get the bug out. Again, all these issues relate to the same question as what is called a nikar ha'eser. Let's say someone bakes a thing of bread and they know that there are bugs in the bread. There's actually a long discussion in the Taz, in Pei Dalet Os Yud Zayin, about in the community that everybody for Shavuos was making bread with raisins, right? Rosenshkas are raisins. Everyone is making bread with raisins. And then one woman goes and looks at her raisins, and she sees that my raisins have bugs in them. So they go back to the Meicher. And they say, Meicher, let's see your raisins. And all the raisins have bugs in them. And every woman in town bought raisins from this same Meicher. This is the only only store that sells Rosenshkas in all of Schnippershock is this one guy. Right? So the Shaila is, can you be makel on the bread that's baked with the raisins? Do I say, well, maybe I went to look at the Meicher and the Meicher has bugs in his raisins, but maybe the Meicher got his bugs in his raisins after I bought my raisins from the Meicher. So the Taz is inclined that that's a suffix, and therefore it's a svek sveka, maybe the bugs break apart. Are they the cooking? Are they the baking? What? I'm not an expert on bugs and baking them. No, don't know. Again, does it lose its barrier status? That's the shayla, and then become bottle. I don't know. So the Taz at the end of Pei Dalet is makel based on the Svek Sveka. The Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach, says that this does not make any sense. This is a very bad psak because we know that there were bugs over here. How can you say, oh, suffix that the bugs came a second after? Right? That's not like a reasonable suffix. That's what the Nekudas HaKesef argues. But let's say you have a case, and in the Truvis of the Kasha Glover, Rav Henkin quotes this. Look, the Kasha Glover, by the way, Library 4-5A, is named after the Kasha Glover. He was the Kasha Glover was the second Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. After Meir Shapiro, who founded Daf Yomi, was Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. The Kasha Glover, Ayatzvi Frumer, was the Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. He has an interesting style of tshuvas. His tshuvas are to defend every single practice that you would think is indefensible. So the fact that a Hasidish Yidavin Shachris at like 11:30, right? Well, is there a heter? Yeah, look at the Kasha Glover's tshuvas. He has a heter. What?
He's Hasidish,
absolutely, right? But like, he's a serious Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Avni Nezer. So the Kasha Glover talks about a Shaila Azoi. Let's say you have bread that you know you baked the bread and there was a gigantic worm in the bread. And then, right, after you bake the bread with the worm, then you take your challah knife and you cut the challah. Are you allowed to bite into it, assuming that you cut through the bug? and therefore it's now batal and it's now mutter. Or maybe that is called Eim Avatlan Nisroch Hatchila, to cut the challah. By the way, in my friend, the Megillah Sefer, he entertains this idea very seriously. He says, maybe I can get by without checking for bugs. Ready? Biggest call in Judaism. Get by without checking for bugs by eating. Because I take my lettuce, I put it in my mouth, I chew it. Ken Zion, I'm breaking the bug up. Once I break the bug up, right, it's going to be bottle. Because it's not a barrier anymore. Once it's not a barrier anymore, right, and it's bottle, isn't this the biggest cool he ever thought of? So he quotes it, the Chazanish says, maybe this is called Eim Avatlin Isser Lechatchila. But is it Eim Avatlin Isser Lechatchila? It's not Kavanos Levatel. My Kavana is I like salad. My Kavana is not that I want to eat. I want to be Mavatel a bug. It happens. I a day masticating that salad. Right, chewing, right? Have to teach into English for you guys. Right, I think chewing that salad, it's going to lose the shame bug. Is that going to be, is that mutter? Again, part of the shayla is over here, right? Is it called a nikar ha'isser? When I cut through the challah, there's going to be pieces of bug, but you have a big worm in there. It's going to be noticeable. I chew on it. Maybe that's a little bit better. It's not going to be noticeable afterwards, but it's a serious shaila that the Megillah Sefer entertains. Maybe you don't have to check anything for bugs based on this svara. Okay, now I have questions. It seems like people finally paying attention. Oh, yeah, Daniel.
Is that just assuming that eating means swallowing?
So eating means, let's say eating means chewing and swallowing. The shaila, the way the Megillah Sefer discusses it is in light of that taz of being tzad yiches, when there's an iser of ti'ima by isurim, can minzagin that there's no iser to put shrei food in your mouth, there's only an iser to swallow it, but by the time I swallow it, it's not usser anymore. That's a lamda shechap, right? I can avoid all bug checking. And we got to figure out why this is not true. So the Megillah Sefer writes about this at length. Noah, you had a comment?
Why is it that we're evil? I know La Lacha, maybe we'll get there. La Lacha, like if I put kale in the blender, I'm allowed to eat it without.
So if I put kale in the blender, I'm allowed to eat it if the recipe calls for pureed kale. Because in those cases, remember, I'm not allowed to just put kale in the blender, because by breaking the bugs and the kale up, I am being mevatel the iser. But if it's in kavanose levatel, then we're mekel.
I'm making a shake. It calls for
kale. That's in kavanose levatel.
I go buy checked kale. I'm daffing not because it's cheaper. And I'm buying.
I think that's still called in kavanose levatel. My kavone is I want to have a kale shake. I want to have whatever nutrients you get from kale in my protein shake. Yeah.
Where's the fine line between the two? For instance, I'm putting cilantro, or I'm putting different green stuff in soup. Right? I need to cut up the cilantro. I will cut it up stop normally, but maybe I'm a little more diet, and I cut it up even smaller to make sure that I'm getting rid of any bugs that potentially were on the cilantro.
Once again, I think if you're cutting it up to make sure you cut the bugs, so then the concern is that's going to be But if I'm cutting it up because the recipe calls for cut cilantro and I'm cutting it in the normal way, it's mashlama d'arvadam, like in Hilchos Shabbos. There's assumed to be an iser of tochein if I cut up a vegetable very, 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 very thin, right? So that's why you cut vegetables on Shabbos thicker, right, wider than you cut them during the week.
Would that be considered like I'm in the bottling as well, too, even though I'm cutting, it's called for cutting, it's called for cilantro.
It depends.
I'm just cutting it maybe a little
that's
more.
If I'm cutting it smaller, that is called, I'm cutting it bedafka to be mevatel the iser. That's a problem, yeah.
So then, just I'm curious, and is there a certain level I know of how much I have to dice up something to be able to do that? I get rid of bugs, meaning in that case, cilantro. Do I have to check that cilantro? Or can I just rely on the fact I'm cutting it up?
Again, if you're going to, when I was in the Kollel, and we were learning with Rabbi Rosenzweig, so we're learning Shvius, so people would ask him questions. He's like, I'm not a farmer. I don't know. I have no idea. Like, you got to ask the people like, who work in kashrus, right? You work in kashrus. How much they have to chop up the cilantro to make sure, I think the bugs, the aphids and the thrips or whatever is in the cilantro are tiny, right? So, l'chor, you have to cut it up really, really thin to be sure that...
Huh? They're so tiny, is that even significant?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, right? If the assumption that Rav Eitam makes is that if it's really hard to get out, so therefore it is a tarufis, and then I have to just deal with the dinim of barrier not being bottle, and I have to deal with the fact that I have a chiyuv of bedika. And one could argue that the chiyuv of bedika doesn't apply when it's very difficult. So those are basically his cheshbonos to be make on the strawberries.
Do we say that also that what's it called? Why is it that in a lot of kosher organizations when we say niker, does that mean niker with the naked eye or that?
Again, nothing microscopic counts.
Not microscopic, but a lot of times used like a diamond.
That is the pashtus is that is only to be done if it appears like a black dot and it's nikar la'ayin, and then they can use the jeweler's loop or whatever it is to see if they're legs. But if it's mamish, not nikar at all, heter gamor.
I shouldn't use that to check. I should only use it if I see something that's
nachum. I think that's the way the poskim say it. You had a comment?
Yeah, where's the line of when you say ikalat or haket?
If I say in kabanas olavato? Again, we spoke about the Taz brings his raya from the devorim that are inside the devash and cooking and heating it up to get the devorim out of the devash. Your kavanah is only to purify the devash, not to be mevato the devorim. That's what we discussed. Okay. Now. Next issue. So we have one spur why you don't have to check for bugs, because maybe either the chewing it's going to be bottle and it's going to break up the bug, and there was no issue to put in your mouth to begin with because te'im is going to be okay, etc. Another start to make on the bugs. We have a rule that misasek is not a problem. No? Misasek is unlike shogeg, right? Mazik, you get put to death. Shogeg, you're chayav a carbon. Misasek is something that's done mamish without any kavona, any das at all. Misasek is assumed to be fine. No chayav carbon at all. The Gemara says that misasek, though, by chalovim and arayis, is going to be chayav shekein nehena. Right? Well, what about misasek by bugs? Right? What about misasek by bugs? One cannot say that you're getting hana'ah from the aphids and the thrips. They don't have any flavor at all. So someone argued that it's mutter to eat bugs without checking them because I look at them with a very cursory glance. I look at it, I don't see any bugs. Okay, if I don't see any bugs and I eat them, so that's misasek. And any aveira that I'm going to do is not an aveira, because misasek is fine. So this already is another interesting point to be addressed. Even though misasek by chalav and by arayas is chayav shekein nehena, but there's no hana'a in the bug. And we're not going to say that there is no chiyav bedika. There is a chiyav bedika, let's say there's a miyat hamatzoi. But the chiyav bedika by a miyat hamatzoi, maybe I can be mekayim that chiyav bedika just with a bedika kala. So I don't see anything on it. And then I eat it. And what's going to happen? Like, why do I have to check my bugs carefully? Why do I have to look in all the crevices of the lettuce? Right, maybe I should rely on the fact that it's going to be, after I do a bedika kala, maybe that's sufficient to be yotze whatever chiyav bedika there is by by bugs. And if that's the case, so then there'll be misasik, and it's going to be okay. That's the shayla that a certain Talmud Chacham asked. Again, the pashtus is that this is not a shayla at all. Because once there's a chi of bedika, that means that Chazal are choshesh, that there's really an isser here. And we say in Shulchan Aruch, once there's a chi of bedika, you have to check the whole thing. It's not enough to, let's say, check a portion of the lettuce so I don't have a 10% likelihood in the remaining part of the lettuce. Once, if I want to eat the full leaf of lettuce, I have to check the full leaf. I don't say, I think I may have said this imprecisely yesterday. It's not sufficient to check, let's say, 70% of the lettuce, so I don't have a 10% likelihood in the remainder of the lettuce. And that's not sufficient. You have to check the entire bit of lettuce. Once it's a chi of bedika, the chi of bedika applies everything. You have to check it fully. So once it's a chi of bedika, you have to check something fully. If I have lungs of an animal, and there's a 10% likelihood, like Rashi writes in Chulin Daf Yud, it's a 10% likelihood of trephis in the lungs. So I have to check the lungs, and I have to check the lungs thoroughly. I do a bedikas pnima, bedikas chutz, like we spoke about yesterday. Right? We're not going to say that you just glance at it, and then you say, okay, what's the big deal after, right? Remember, the lungs, you're not going to eat the lungs. You're going to eat the rest of the meat. No? Is there a shekain nehana? So maybe in that case it's worse, because mamsha shekain nehana, that you're really getting kind of from the animal. But the point is, I think, I see the fact that I have to do a thorough bedika on the piece of lettuce. I have to check the whole thing. And the fact that we do such careful bedikas on the lungs, I think that indicates that you can't say the svara of just doing a cursory bedika and getting out of the issue. So we check for bugs, and the din is that when something is a miyata matzoi, you have to check it. What is a miyata matzoi? So there are 4 or 5 different shitas. They quote from the Tshuva of the Rivash that miyata matzoi is something that is close to 50%. Right? That's a very high bar. That means if you have 10, 20, 30% likelihood, not a miyata matzoi, no chiv to check at all. Miyach eno matzoi, no chiv at all to check. The standard mahalach that Rav Schechter Paskin's like, though, you Paskin's like, I think most kashrus agencies Paskin like, is it based on 10%? That's the Mishkanus Yankiv. By the way, this is not only relevant for checking bugs, right? It's relevant, let's say, I buy a suit. I check my suit for shatness. Do I have to check every single suit that I buy for shatness? If I buy an American made suit that's not particularly expensive, and I know that there's no real stiffener in the collar, so I have to check that. The chayre all depends on miyata matzoi, but I should note that there is an unresolved and to some extent unanswerable question: how am I magdir miyata matzoi in the context of eating? Right? There are 2 issues. One is the percentage. Mishkanus Yankiv says 10%. They quote, some quote Rebbe Yoshev saying 7%, others quote Rebbe Yoshev saying 4%, and this in Karelet says 5%. Some say that, they quote from Rav Vosner, that miyata matzoi isn't a set number. Miyata matzoi is whether you'll be surprised if you find the problem. If you'll say, okay, yeah, there's a bug, taka, there are bugs and vegetables. Okay, so that's a miyata matzoi. But if it's like, a bug! How did it get there? Right? So then, that's a miyachino matzoi. Right? In other words, it's not a statistical number. I believe I once heard this from Reb Usher Weiss also. I think Reb Usher Weiss denies the science of statistics in halacha. His shita is that, like, we never give firm percentages. I'm pretty sure he said this also. Miyachino matzoi is just like whether I get surprised or I don't get surprised. Now, the unanswerable question is, when I say 10%, what does 10% mean? I have lettuce. I'm going to take bites of my lettuce. Do I assume 10% means one out of every 10 bites? Does 10% mean one out of every 10 servings, right? Usually you eat a serving of lettuce, right? That means like a salad. So when I take salad, I fill up a third of my plate with the salad. So I have like three lettuce leaves. So that would mean if I have three, right? If I have 10 servings of lettuce.
I'm going to use a pasta every one out of 10 times I chat.
Whoa, that you can't do, because then I can just decide not to check. My shaila is, when do I have a chiyuv to check?
Yeah.
So when I have a chiyuv to check, but I'm going to check, I work in a restaurant. I'm going to check thousands of cauliflowers. Right? So how am I magder miyotamotzei? 10% of what? Right? 10% of bites? 10% of serving size, 10% of each head of lettuce. I'm fairly certain that Rav Schechter assumes it goes by serving size. Rabbi Willig assumes, I seem to recall that Rabbi Willig assumes it goes by the natural unit, which means a head of lettuce. That's a natural unit. Now, Rav Schechter's mako, for example, in brushing your teeth, in New York City water, even though the water is unfiltered, because the serving size, the amount of water that you use to brush your teeth, right, you're not going to have a bug in one out of 10 times of using that amount of water for brushing your teeth. Rav Schechter, I think, is based, I'm fairly sure, Rav Schechter is based on serving size, but I think Rabbi Willig assumes it's based on the natural natural unit. So what we'll have to talk about on Wednesday is what's the Mishkanus Yankiv's raya to 10%, the machlokes between the Mishkanus Yankiv and the Beis Ephraim. If you guys want to have fun, it's Siman Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin in the Mishkanus Yaakov, where he discusses all these ideas, and we should daven mincha. Have a great day.